Miss. And unfortunately, and I bring this up, oftentimes we get lost in what the season is truly about. Don't get me wrong, gifts are okay, parties are okay, those type of things are okay, but they don't replace or come close to the gifts that were brought to us, given to us from Jesus Christ, those gifts of hope and joy and peace and love, which is the real reason for the season. So here's a pop quiz. All right, let's see if you've been paying attention. So the first week we talked about what? We talked about hope. Yes, yeah. You people online, you hear the people here. So the first week we talked about hope, and hope in the middle of our circumstances because of God's faithfulness. We have that. The second week, we looked at the wonderful gift of, peace. We looked at peace. So that Jesus' sacrifices were made available to us. We are made right with God and with others. And last week, we talked about, joy. All right, we talked about joy is ours, no matter the circumstances. I had to be reminded of that this week. You know, I had to practice what I preached last week. You know, just saying, you know, with all this stuff going on in the parking lot and you know, trying to get food to people and couldn't do that the way we wanted to. And I'm like, oh, but I'm just like, you know, inside, I'm not going to let these circumstances alter the joy, the gift of joy that our Heavenly Father has given us, that dwells within us. So this final week of the series, we'll take a look at a theme that's interwoven throughout Scripture, from the Old Covenant to the New. And that's at the heart of Christmas. And that gift is the gift of love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you for sending your Son to live a sinless life so that we could experience eternal life with you. Thank you for loving the whole world, and making a way for us to have that salvation that only you can offer. Father, I pray that you guide my words. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, so let's be honest. It's that time of season, gift giving, right? And some of us, we're going to get gifts that we're like, oh boy. Like, okay, thank you. And I'm just want to give you some ideas, some hints to say. I didn't want to make a whole PowerPoint presentation. I thought about it, but I didn't want to do that. But check it out. All right, so 8 things, all right, real quick. Somebody gives you that gift, and you look at number 8. Well, now there's a gift. Now, you're going to have to add something to it. You just can't, you know, all right. So, number 7, no, really, I didn't know that there was a Chia Pet tie. Clip on. You know, I always wanted one of those things. Can you just jog my memory? What is that called? Number 5, you know what? I'm going to find a special place for this. You don't tell them where that special place is, all right? Okay. Tell them you're going to find a special place for that. Boy, here, number 4. Boy, you don't see craftsmanship like that every day. You know, I'm going to stop there because that's okay. I'm already getting in trouble. Number 3. Oh, that is such an interesting color. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. Number 2. You say that was the last one? And I'm glad you snapped that baby up. And number 1, I think one that we're probably all familiar with that comes to mind is, you shouldn't have. No, really. You shouldn't have. Anyway. So there you go. I hope this prepares you for any of these scenarios. Today I want to speak to you about a gift you all don't have to rehearse for a response for. It's the greatest gift that has ever been given to us. And this time of Christmas is when we get to celebrate that presence of Him. Listen, when God sent His Son to be born, it was an expression of unfailing and relentless love. His love is a gift that is thoughtful because it meets our greatest needs. It meets our greatest needs. That need being the forgiveness of our sinful state. It is a gift that is priceless because it could never be purchased apart from Christ's body. Nothing else could pay that price but the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a gift, right? It is a gift that is timeless because the grace of God is never ending. Above all else, at the heart of Christmas is love. I don't know. His love, His gift is always on time. I don't know if you've ever heard this song before. I've heard it sung by Dottie Peoples, and maybe you heard it. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. And then there's a whole choir in the back rocking back and forth. You got to listen to it. Google it, man. It's anyway, and Jesus. I mean, our Heavenly Father has always been an on-time God. On time. We have examples throughout His Word. We look at the Israelites, right? They're getting ready to cross the Red Sea. They're backed up there. On time, God parts the waters. I look at Daniel 3, all right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talked about this with the men's group a couple Saturdays ago. On time, God. They said, hey, whatever, we're not going to follow you. And we're going to step into this fiery furnace. And the guys that are pushing us in, they're burning up, but we're going in. On time, God, right there with them. On time, God, with Daniel in the lion's den, right there. Oh, man, I think one of my favorites is Elijah found in 1 Kings. You remember that? Elijah with 450 prophets. He's the only prophet for our Heavenly Father representing 450 of Baal. We'll cut up and make a sacrifice. And our God was on time, right? He consumed all of that after it was drenched with buckets and buckets of water. Father just went, shoo, on time, God. No matter where you're at, no matter where we're at, He is always on time. Have you ever received a present from someone that someone you could not believe how perfect the timing was? Have you ever had that before? Like, wow, how did I get that? It could be small or it could be big. DJ was sharing with me, our sound guy. He was saying, you know, I left and all the snow plowing going on. Somebody came by and pushed that. You know how the snow plowers go? They leave that rough edge there. You know, we can't put snow in the street, but they can put the snow in your yard, right? So, but somebody came by and took care of that for him. That's on time, right? Doesn't matter the gift. Maybe because of something you were going through or because of a need was met, it was as if the person, the giver who was giving it to you, knew exactly what you needed. The book of Galatians talks about the timing of the Christmas. As Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, turn with me to Galatians 4:4-5, where it reads, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. From the moment of creation was broken by sin. When it was broken by sin, and hear me, God didn't just say, "Oh, geez, what happened? I got to come up with something new now." All right. He always had a plan. God's plan was to destroy, was to restore and rescue all that He had made. The Bible is an account of His divine efforts of faithfulness to reverse the efforts of the fall. He's like, hey, you read all through the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and you follow the Israelites, you're like, oh, come on. All right, you know, God was right there. Okay, Red Sea. Okay, there you go. And then they turn their back on Him. He's like, come on, please stop already. But He kept on loving them. And His faithfulness has always been there for those folks. When we read through the text, God partners with those who love and trust and enact the greatest resource plan in history. Paul wrote that when Jesus came and was born of Mary, the fullness of time had come. It was the right moment in history to send His Son to make way for the world to be restored. His Father saying, okay, Son, it's time. It's time. Reminds me of a story I stumbled onto. Because I realized that Jesus, our Heavenly Father, He did all that so we could all be together, be a family. There's this article that I found, and I know that's been posted on social media, so it's probably nothing new to a lot of you, but there was this man by the name of Clifford, and he had been married for some 41 years, and his bride, from day one, made his lunch for him. Every day, she packed his lunch. Every once in a while, she would come with him to his job site and sit with him and eat and have lunch with him. And he said to her, he said, lunch tasted so much better when you're sharing it with somebody. So soon after that, he noticed his wife, Tracy, made a sandwich, and she'd take a bite out of it and then pack it. And then he came back, and so he came home and said, "Hey, honey, I know that I saw that you joined me today for lunch." And she would do that every day, except for when he like wanted a tuna fish sandwich or a pimento cheese or something. She always took a bite to let him know that she wanted her husband to know that she wasn't just thinking about him. She was actually joining him in his daily experiences, no matter what he might be going through. He said it was like she was taking a bite out of all the troubles that he was experiencing there at work that day. What is perhaps the most amazing is that when Jesus came, He came to meet us exactly where we are. I spoke about that last week. He was born under the law of God in order to redeem mankind for the regulations of law. In doing so, His perfect life met the requirements that the law demanded. Law demanded that there had to be a sacrifice given. And He became that sacrifice. Secondly, we are loved into the family. According to Galatians 4, the full expression of God's love is demonstrated in our spiritual adoption. We become children of God and brothers and sisters of Christ. I don't know if any of you have ever been adopted. I don't know, but or if you've ever adopted someone.
But I tell you what, from those that I hear, when you all of a sudden you're adopted and you belong to, you're part of that family, something that's been missing all of your life, something you've never experienced, love, it's something else. And to know that our Heavenly Father has adopted us. We are all given the privileges of, as princes, prince and princesses. We're in the kingdom. We are royalty. The late Pastor J.I. Packard wrote about this incredible expression of love that came to us at Christmas time. He says, "Adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers. Higher even than justification, to be right with God, the judge, is a great thing. But to be loved and cared for by God, the Father, is even greater." Many of us live our lives every day missing the simple fact that God loves us. There are times when we're missing that. We miss the fact that we have been adopted into His family. We have a hard time loving ourselves. I just saw that not that he's the greatest thing ever, but I don't know that if you've the Ellen Show. I don't know if you've ever watched that. And the DJ Twitch, and all of 40 years old, all right? And, I mean, it's not like I was a super fan, but, I mean, he's a good guy. And at 40 years old, I wish I could have been able to say, "Hey, Twitch, yeah, I know you got the moves, but God loves you." Because if he'd have known that God loves him, I don't think he would have taken the steps that he did. Leaving behind a wife and some children. People need to hear about the love of God. And this is the time that we need to share that gift, the gift that he's given us. Paul tells us about the benefits of being in God's family and being recipients of his love in the book of Ephesians. Turn with me to Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be praised in his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of his inheritance until we acquire possessions of it, to the praise of his glory. As part of God's family, we are made blameless, it says, in the sight of God in verse 4. And our sins have been washed away by his love. God's will and way are made known to us by a father, that he might share with a child. We are chosen to receive hope and salvation. We are marked with a seal, that seal of the Holy Spirit, to ensure that we are filled by the Holy Spirit. Loving freely receives is love freely given. The reason love must be at the heart of the Christmas is because if we miss this from the beginning, about his love, then the central message of the season in the midst of all that's going on will be lost. What is perhaps the most tragic about the oversight is that we often give the kind of love that we perceive to others. We're giving them our love. You may be giving them your love, but you're not giving them the kind of love that God gives. I might be able to show somebody some JR compassion, but God's compassion is a whole lot more than that. When we recognize the kind of love that God has for us, it becomes the way in which we treat others. People will see God's love in us. They'll know that it's more than just something fleshy. The most famous passage in the Bible that speaks about love helps us to understand God's love, and this text is used at weddings. I know that I've used it myself a couple of times, and probably some of you know where I'm talking about. Hey, and if you're with husbands and wives, if you're with each other, grab each other's hand right now, all right? If you're not already doing that, all right, do that right now for me, please, as I read this, all right? Come here, hon. Come here. Excuse me. All right. 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. It reads, "If I speak to the tongues of men and angels but not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." All right, so this is where you're holding tight, right? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Oh. Is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for the prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways.
For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, love, abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Thank you. You young people, there's something to learn from that, all right? That I gave to you for free. We get caught up in all kinds of things, even good things, and miss the whole point. If love is not our motivating factor, then they're doing it for the wrong reason. Love, like we have been together from God, should cause us to be patient and kind with one another. It should cause us to avoid be envious and proud. All these attributes that speak about love, it might be a good idea even once a week just to go to that passage. Are you expressing that kind of love? Are you envious? Are you holding on to, are you a part of wrongdoings? Always wanting to be right? I want to share with you an illustration I found. The author is unknown. I think that if this passage was to be, as it's this passage translated into the Christmas time, season, check it out. If I decorate my house perfectly with braids, plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny ornaments, but do not have love, I'm just another decorator. If I work hard in the kitchen, baking Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautiful adorned table at mealtime, but do not have love, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, caroling in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have missed the whole point. Love stops. Listen. Love stops the cooking to hug a child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind even when harried and tried. Love does not envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love does not yell at kids and get out of... Okay, love does not yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful they are there to be in the way. Oh. Love does not give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who cannot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Toys will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will endure forever and ever. Yeah. I got that look that, Pastor, you went from preaching to meddling. Listen. At just the right time, Jesus came into the world. He came to free us from the crushing weight of the law. We could never be good enough. Hear me. We are just not, we are not that good. We can't atone for ourselves. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. And that's why he came to earth as a child. Not as a superhero, right? He came as a babe. Because the plan was, he knew what the plan was, that one day he was here to erase our sin, to atone for our sin. All right, so here's the questions. Here's your homework. All right. What kind of effect should God's love have on us? Question number one. What kind of love, what kind of effect should God's love have on us? Number two, why do you think Paul uses the imagery of a family to communicate how God feels about you? Why do you think Paul uses the imagery of family to communicate how God feels about you? Question number three, what benefit of being in God's family that is listed in Ephesians 1:3-14 is most exciting and encouraging to you, and why? All right. Question number four, what is one practical way to share God's love with someone else this week? Now, on this one, I might just be pushing things. What is one, you're asking yourself, what is one practical thing I can do? Then when you figure it out, go do it. Just don't think about it. Go do it. All right? So this Christmas, look upon the arrival of Jesus Christ as the ultimate gift of God. The kinds of gifts that no one, the kind of gift that no one else can give. He came here with gifts of love, joy, and hope. Those things we can hold on to for the rest of our lives. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We celebrate your love, a true love that cannot be replicated. Father, let us be imitators of you. Let people see you and us and all that we do, especially this time of year. This is a time for Christians to stand up, brothers and sisters in Christ, to stand up and represent and celebrate the Christ child. In your name I pray. Amen.